Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Gresh and Keith
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Five in the pattern for Rodgers. Good pressure. He escapes and wants it. What a catch! By Jones. Second and 11, just pitch it to the edge to Aaron Jones. Inside the five and in the end zone for a Green Bay touchdown.
His nickname is Quadzilla. Says it all. Those quads, massive.
From the nine, it's Aaron Jones coming around the edge to the end zone. Jones with a touchdown.
Davante Adams ain't in Green Bay no more, but that doesn't mean they don't have talent. They got a couple of really good running backs, and that might be a bit of a focus of this Sunday's game between the Patriots and the Packers. 11:04, Gresh and Keefe here with you. Andy Hart in for Keefe. Heartburn coming up at 11:45 in place of Keefe's Keys. So the rantings, ravings, and musings of one Andy Hart. At 11:45. This from the Twitter of Andrew Callahan, who covers the Patriots beat for the Herald. Mac Jones could be a game-time decision at Green Bay after responding strongly to treatment this week, a source tells Karen Garigian.
Day by day.
All right.
And I could have a date with Halle Berry on Sunday.
Wow.
I could. I
mean, wow. Not
totally impossible.
That is something.
Do you believe Mac Jones is going to be a game-time decision on Lambeau Field turf?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I don't even know if... Now, will they go as far with this charade as suiting him up?
Well, I don't know about suiting him up. It feels like they may take the charade on the road and travel with it.
I would expect him to go on the road. I guess the question is, do they put him out there in uniform and let him go through warm-ups and really carry this thing to the 11th hour?
No,
or is Bailey Zip-Zap going to be up running and ready to go?
No, because if he can actually get out there and warm up, then I think there's a chance maybe he plays with his front foot.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't, because
I think they can tape it up and let him go just kind of, you know, ping-dingling around out there during warm-ups. And, like, we always see him, the guys run up and down end-to-end on the yard lines whenever they're kind of stretching and warming up.
Yes.
If we see that from Mac, even that would be something.
Yeah, I think that would absolutely be something. That's because I want to go back to Giardi's second tweet last night. He had the tweet about, you know, Mac telling guys that, you know, don't give up on me. There's a chance.
Right.
I'm getting better. And I'm trying. Okay. The response, the next tweet that Giardi sent like 4 hours later was text from a Patriots player. Love Mac. Tough guy. But he's hurting pretty good. Hope everyone's smart about this. It's a long season. So that's a teammate that's viewing the pain that Mac is in.
Yep.
And he's saying, I hope everybody's smart. If he's that hurt on Thursday afternoon at Gillette Stadium, just walking around the locker room and whatever from the training room to his locker,
he ain't playing.
Then he shouldn't be traveling. He shouldn't be warming up. He shouldn't be playing. None of that should be happening, in my opinion.
I completely agree. And it's just interesting that this is now tied into, in a way, the whole Tua got back out there. Look at what happened to him. Should he have been out there? There is that element of the discussion in terms of Mac Jones. And I think it's not more of, I don't think when Mac gets as much personal safety, can't come back from brain injuries, things like that. It's more of the, hey, if this is the guy that the New England Patriots are going to invest in for the next couple of years, then you just don't want to throw him out there. Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston tweeted out a few minutes ago, Lots of appreciation for Packers greats this morning from Bill Belichick. Belichick says he showed the team some film of Lambeau in action on the sideline this week. Oh, boy. They went all the way back to the curly Lambeau era. There we go.
I'm not sure what
Lombardi.
I think of that.
What
are we doing here?
Maybe he's just prepping them for the enormity of walking in the Lambeau Field.
He should prep them for the enormity of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think he doesn't want to get guys to, I don't think he wants the dudes to get overwhelmed. Maybe that's a part of it. But yeah, I don't know what the Lambeau era of Green Bay Packers football necessarily means relative to going out and winning a game this week. But we know that that's Bill.
And if they win, people will say it's because he showed them footage of Lambeau on the sideline.
Of a bunch of guys out there with the 1952 flipper blocking and stuff like that.
Because I will. Brian Hoyer, Devin McCourty, all the guys I listened to the other day when I went down there for press conferences did acknowledge Lambeau's different. Like, you feel some aura when
even Jalen Mills mentioned, hey, you know.
Because you know what I would have done if I were Bill? Gone the other way. Gone the, you know, you measure the basket. Huh, damnedest thing. Basket's 10 feet here in this field. Like, goalposts are 10 feet high here. Oh, there's a play clock down there and a play clock. Huh, you guys want to measure this field or you think it's 100 yards?
You want to go with the reverse psychology route? That's
the Hoosiers. Like,
what are you, Bobby the Brain Heenan?
It's the same effing field that we have at our stadium. Like, I don't really need Lambeau, the history of the game. Why don't we worry about how we can pull an upset? You're heavy underdogs on the road. Watching Lambeau footage is not going to help you win at Lambeau Field.
Well, you mentioned the...
I don't know why that bothers me, and we haven't even started
heartburn yet.
I know,
my God. You want athletic commissions now, so you want more governmental oversight. You don't care about the history of Lambeau Field.
Well, he started with Lambeau on Wednesday in his press conference.
Yeah.
Remember? The last 80 years, the NFL,
Hudson,
this.
And all, yeah.
How about we focus a little bit more on the current Packers and the new Packers, right? Dobbs.
Well, he's day-to-day in terms of the message.
Day by day, not day, day to day. Day. Get it right.
Day that by word, day.
Those two letters matter in the middle.
Are arguably the biggest weapons that Aaron Rodgers has to use, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon?
I thought that. And then yesterday.
Thought that?
Yes.
Okay.
We recorded the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, available now. The
you
preview.
And who? Because Shime's apparently, he's been...
Nope.
Washed up ashore in Ocean City with no concert to go to.
Fitzy and I recorded it with the help of Terp as our fill-in producer.
Oh, look at that.
Well done, Terp. And we had Peter Bukowski? I think it's the name. Peter Bukowski, I believe, from The Athletic or something.
The hell of a
cell
you got going here.
No, but what interest... I asked him about the rookie receivers, and he was raving about Dobbs.
Okay.
And raving about the speed and, when healthy, the Watson, the go route, the fear that he thinks those two young receivers are going to put in a defense.
Mm-hmm.
And with this secondary, you know, we just alluded to it, even though if I didn't have the balls to go all in on it and ask Jalen Mills about being the worst corner in football right now, according to PFF, with this secondary, if you have a couple game breakers that can make some plays, I don't care that it says R next to their name, that it doesn't say Davante Adams, veteran, Pro Bowl, or all pro. That doesn't actually help you on the field just because they're rookies. I'm wondering about the back end and big plays allowed. I know GTFB is the whole Patriot way on defense, and we don't, but their run defense, I actually think, has been decent. I think the Patriot, other than the last week with Lamar and...
Well, and it
Lamar's
doesn't
different.
And it doesn't look like Lawrence Guy is trending towards playing. That's
concerning.
A big to-do.
That's concerning. But if the Packers want to just run it down your throat, I think you actually appreciate that. And then say, well, this game's going to end like last week's did for them, 14-13, and maybe we can be the 14. Because if this game gets up in the 30s, no shot. Right? No shot.
Well, but we thought that last week ball, and they had 26, but then again, it was Mac out there, not Hoyer.
And they had no shot, in my opinion. Even though they felt like they had a shot for a second there when Aguilar caught the ball, I don't think they had a shot of winning that shootout wherever it ended. But yes, with Hoyer this week, do you think Hoyer can score 30 points this week?
Not unless the defense is getting you some real short fields.
Okay, so if you run it 30 times and they run it 30 times, the score stays down.
I think it's kind of even, yeah.
Like, now you've got a shot.
Well,
punter's chance.
But here's the difference. Uh-oh. Is that Matt LaFleur has been very willing to put both of his running backs on the field in the passing game, and even in sometimes in the run game, both those guys on the field at the same time. And both of those backs have been mixed in differently in different ways honestly, I think that from afar, Matt Patricia looks at that and says, that's what I'd like to develop with Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah.
Where you don't know whether they're catching it, you don't know whether they're running it. It'd be nice to see Harris and Stevenson out on the field maybe at the same time in a split back situation,
okay,
a la what Aaron Rodgers does with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder, there is a part of me that, look, Aaron Rodgers is great, there's no question. But I think Aaron Rodgers is also at a point in his career where he's patient enough that if the run game is working and he's only got to throw it 25 times, that he's okay with that as long as the team is getting the win. Whereas maybe a couple years ago, I don't know if that would necessarily be the case. And when you don't have a number one stud wide receiver in your ear, maybe the way Davante Adams would have been, it's easier as a quarterback to sort of get into that mode. My worry is that those running backs in the passing game for Green Bay, that's where they make the difference. Because if the run games are pretty even or relatively close, what's going to be the differentiator? And it's those guys catching the ball. And right now, this Patriots team has not gotten to that point. But can they get there with Hoyer in at QB?
I don't feel great about it with Hoyer in at QB, but I do feel good about the evolution of Ramondre Stevenson.
Screens, throw it in the flat, that kind of stuff, things like that.
I think you can sell yourself on Stevenson going down an Aaron Jones road, like that being kind of what you're hoping he kind of evolves and develops into.
And
Harris isn't A.J. Dillon, but maybe that's sort of the roles as they evolve for those
two guys.
They're
both really in between the tackle power runners, yeah, who can catch it a little bit.
So, yeah, but again, and maybe both teams, I know this has been a big talking point around here, play action game, and do you use play action enough and shots down the field? Who do you feel better about? Let's just say they both run. Okay, we run. We do our little dink and dunk to the backs. Who do you feel better hitting a big play action pass? Aaron Rodgers to one of his guys?
Oh, it's definitely Aaron Rodgers.
Okay,
but the thing is that can the offensive coordinator here draw one up? Because we're still in that mode. We're still in that phase. Like, there's no question it's Aaron Rodgers, in part because of the offense that he plays in. Mm-hmm. And the way that Matt LaFleur does sort of call plays, layer the offense. They've found ways to win even with young wide receivers. But those running backs are a big part of it. And I'm wondering if there's a little slice of something out of that Green Bay offense in terms of what they do with the backs that might be applicable. And by the way, if you're getting to the point to where the tight ends are on the field and they're not productive and you haven't been able to break through and figure out how to get those guys involved, if you're Matty P from a formation standpoint, why wouldn't you try to get both running backs on the field? You know, when are we going to see the Kevin Falk motion all the way to the outside and some heavy-footed middle linebacker runs out with him?
Love it.
Where you know it's down the... I'd like to see that from Matt Patricia at some point, because you know what? Charlie Weiss, Bill O'Brien, Josh McDaniels, they all figured out how to get those matchups.
Well, they were offensive coaches.
Well, there is that too. Well, Matt Patricia's got 3 games.
Oh, is that... So he's not a rookie? Is this like not a rookie anymore?
No, he's not a rookie
anymore.
You're
not a defensive coach anymore. You've played 3 games.
Now
you're
called plays, but he called plays on the other side before, so therefore he wasn't a total virgin.
No. How did he do with that? I believe last time he called plays for this defense, they gave up 500 yards in a Super Bowl.
I think he's got one pretty important play in NFL history.
On his resume, too. He claims it. Just ask him.
617-779-7937. Not only on Tua, but also the Patriots, with or without Mac Jones? Do you even want Mac out there with this injury?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, more of Gresh and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Ladies and gentlemen, we- We interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is brought to you by Beat the Streak. For tips to win a $5.6 million prize, listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, a Woj bomb has dropped. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, free agent Blake Griffin has agreed to a one-year, fully guaranteed deal with the Boston Celtics, sources tell ESPN. So last year with the Brooklyn Nets, I do find this interesting, Hart. I'm on Pro Basketball or on Basketball Reference.
Me too.
And I'm looking at the year-by-year stats for Blake Griffin. Power forward, power forward, power forward, power forward, power forward. Last year, center?
Yeah.
What?
Well, he grew.
Oh, apparently so.
He had that, like, you know, 35-year-old jump or whatever, 32-year-old growth spurt.
So he's on the Luis Gonzalez plan, sure, where you have your best home run year at 38 years old or whatever it is.
So you're diminishing the move.
This guy stinks. I mean, I'll steal the line. To me, he's old Grant Williams in a lot of ways. It's a nice name. If this were 2015, Sprout Wood, baby.
Well, yeah,
but here are the numbers from Blake Griffin last year. He started 24 games last year, which again is
part-time starter.
Yeah, so 17 minutes a game. He averaged, 6.4 points per game.
Mm.
Shot some threes, not very well. And what were the rebounds? 4 rebounds per game.
6 and 4.
Again, I know he's a depth piece and all that stuff, but the Celtics needed a big, and this is what they came up with? This guy who we were, let's be real now, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, whenever the Celtics were matching up against the Brooklyn Nets last year in the playoffs, we were laughing at people like Blake Griffin, sure, being on that team.
Sure.
And now I'm supposed to, you know, get all hot and bothered and be there's the replacement for Gallinari. Yeah.
Okay, 2 questions.
Okay.
Are you hot and bothered to see Cornette play center? Because I've been told by some that he's going to have a big role on this team.
Listen, the murder Cornet, we know what he's going to be, and he's a necessity because I don't think Blake Griffin takes the place of Al Horford as a center. And I'm not saying that the murder Cornet is what he is, but that's the thing. He knows what he is. I think Blake Griffin at times still thinks he's a good player.
I'm not so sure about that. And then my next question is this alarming in any way? Is this tied into the extended Time Lord absence? That went from whatever it was going to be 4 weeks to 8 weeks to 12 weeks. Like,
now that's interesting.
I read into this move anything?
Now that is,
alarming, concerning, notable.
It's hard to kind of figure out how the pieces all sort of fit together because you know Time Lord's going to be down. And then how are they going to manage Al Horford? Mm-hmm. Because Al Horford might have to play more minutes early in the year until Time Lord gets back, and you sort of manage Al maybe on the back half of the regular season to be able to make sure he's upright and ready for the postseason. Now, I'm sure Blake Griffin might end up getting a few or some of those minutes. I just don't – I think he's a great name. He'll sell some jerseys.
I used to love
Hoopy-doo. But I just don't think this guy can play anymore.
Yeah, I read into this a little bit because I don't think you want to push the Al Horford thing. I think whatever your plan is going to be, I think you want to stick to it.
It can't change, correct.
Because I think you want that to play out over the long haul. Now, I know they have a lot up in the air right now with the whole coaching thing.
To say the least.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. I think this is center depth, Time Lord related, minutes related, insurance, and I'm with you. Like, I used to love Blake Griffin. Like, I thought he was one of the more exciting players coming out of college, coming into the NBA. You know, he's dunking over Kias or whatever the hell he did and, like, the various things. He's not that anymore. Yeah, but that doesn't mean this has to be Shaq when he came through Boston that 1 year. But there can be a happy medium where he plays a few minutes and gives you a couple tough minutes.
But he's also as injury-prone as Time Lord. He's not someone that you can...
56 games isn't terrible.
Yeah, that's the most he has played since 2018-2019, where he played 75. And then to find him even near 56 minutes or 56 games before that, you got to go all the way back to 2017-2018. Okay. He's had one clean season.
I don't need him clean.
At 21 years old.
I need him
all
early.
The way back in 2010.
I don't need him clean. I need him early. Right? I need you give me minutes early, and then hopefully Time Lord is back, and Time Lord and so, Al down the stretch.
So when Blake Griffin gets hurt, you're okay to transition into your other hurt guy
right.
coming back.
They just can't be hurt together.
Got it. So if Blake Griffin's going to give you 56 games, it's got to be the first 40, and then go from there.
Pretty much. And then you take some time off, and then when Time Lord gets hurt in April or May, I need you to come back and give me some more minutes. It's not what his name would bring.
Correct.
But I also don't know that it's as meaningless as you are painting it.
All right, let's go to Tony and Revere on Blake Griffin to Boston on the breaking news. Hi, Tony.
Hi, I'd like to comment on the breaking news. I think the Celtics have now vaulted into the top five in the league for load management next year between Brogdon, who played 56 games last year, Brogdon, who's an injury waiting to happen, Time Lord, and now Blake Griffin. And I think they're in the top five for load management. I can't wait to pay $200 to watch these guys sit on the bench in street clothes. It should be fun.
Tony and Revere, so it'll be fun.
Time out.
Okay.
If you're paying $200,
street clothes.
You're not paying $200 to see Brogdon or Time Lord or Griffin, in my opinion. You're paying $200 to see Tatum and Brown.
Yeah.
Like, Time Lord, I know, is fun when he's in the lineup. The lobs and the blocks and the energy and the dunks and all that.
And the garden, too. I mean, my God.
But, I mean...
What an iconic place.
Tatum and Brown are the guys...
No, he really is. You're exactly right. You're paying for the superstars. Yeah. Or you're also paying to see them match up against the opponent. And I understand Tony's point on the whole, this has now become a massive load management team. Well, you know what?
Luckily, you have a veteran coach who can manage those things.
Well, that's right. If Jay Larinaga comes over... You're right. I wonder if this is to lure Jay Larinaga. I know that he just went to the Clippers. I'm only clowning. But every team is in load management mode. Even the Bucks, you know, they've realized they got to kind of pace Giannis a little bit. I think the Nets have clearly shown that they have to pace Kyrie and KD. And I would dare say that James Harden is probably going to get some load management. Normally, that's a giant dump of a load in his pants come playoff time. But still, they'll manage that load to get through the season.
Are the Celtics
now, I don't think they're any different enough than any other team.
But are they mature and good enough? Are they in load management phase of their evolution as a roster? I know, like, Al Horford. He's at load management in his career. But I'm talking about the big picture Boston Celtics, a team that as of last December was not very good, that stunk. Are they ready? Oh, we'll flip the switch when we need to.
Like, it's not so much flipping the switch. I think some of it is managing the Youngs a little differently, meaning Tatum and Brown. You know, do I need Jason Tatum at 40 minutes every game? Can I shave it to, say, 35, 36? And again, I know there's like, boy, it's only like 4 minutes a game or whatever, and there'll be somewhere he goes the distance. There's no question. But I think it also includes those guys as well. And I would say yes. I think the Celtics, think about it. The Celtics, the Bucks, the Nets, and the Nets and the 76ers. Those are four of the better teams in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me which one of those teams is not going to be, at least during the regular season and maybe the first 60 games, in some sort of load management mode. I think it's a little bit of reflective of where the league is.
Yes.
And it's not every player. Like Grant Williams, get your ass out there. You're playing a ton of minutes. Great. Go play. I don't need to pay some guys, but there are some dudes that you need to kind of pace a little bit. Hey, Joel Embiid. I think that, you know, again, he tried to win the MVP last year and played his tail off. They're going to end up managing his minutes a little bit. And some of the veterans that they brought into the 76ers. I just think it is reflective of the better teams. If you're Memphis, if you're Cleveland, you had to play all your guys all the time, minus injury. Had to play them all, had to get to where you needed to be. Celtics have already crossed that bridge. So I think, yeah, that's a big part of this season.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they are evolutionary, if they've evolved to the point where they're, say, the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Bucks, with Giannis and Middleton in that group, is a veteran group with a veteran coach. They know they're going to be there at the end. It's about getting to through the marathon, you know, ready to sprint for the finish. Are the Celtics there yet? Celtics have been good for less than a calendar year. That's what I keep saying. Like, we haven't reached the point. Last December, they stunk. They were irrelevant. They couldn't play. They were not entertaining. People didn't care.
Then they blew doors.
Then they got good.
Yep.
Are they that? Are they that good? Are they a load management, maturing, evolving,
yeah,
we know what
well,
we're going to get kind of team?
Yeah, I think
okay,
you,
we'll
I,
see.
Well, I think you have to go in that way, because if you go in the other way saying you've done nothing and all you a-holes are going to play as much as I want to play you, then you're arguably shooting yourself in the foot.
Possibly.
If you look at that with Al Horford and be like, sorry, Al, 35 a game, we ain't good enough.
Well, I think he's in a different place, but
Tatum, like, look at, you know, part of the reason Tatum got ground down last year in the NBA Finals is when you look at the international play, the Olympic stuff, he logged a ton of minutes during the regular season. Like, I do think for Brown and Tatum in particular, they have now gotten into, is it full-blown LeBron mode or KD mode where or Kawhi Leonard, where it's, hey, you're only going to play 62 of the 82? No. And I think that is the truest version of load management, where you get those guys in their 30s. Like, that's the kind of treatment Al Horford, in my opinion, is going to get.
But they're
Al
a decade away.
62 games.
They're a decade away from that.
Yeah, but you got to be smart about it to be able to. There's so much on each of those young guys that if you don't manage them during the year, you run the risk of them getting worn down again. And if the goal is to win a championship, isn't one of the things that we learned last year was all of those extra minutes that a guy like Jason Tatum played, if you go back and you could shave a little bit here, a little bit there, I wonder how many in the Celtics organization were like, you know what, we probably could have managed him a little better given everything that he's coming off of.
Yeah, we'll see. I thought the message last year was finish strong, don't look to take the easy road, take the hard road, play it out. Like, I thought that was the message.
Well, look, in the NBA, I think there are different levels of either seniority from players or that championship credibility, right? You assume that with the Brooklyn Nets, you got two guys who have rings. They're arguably their two best players in Kyrie and KD. So there is an assumption, I think, for most that is a championship-level-worthy team because you have those two guys. And I'm talking about in their organization, the way they have to think about it. Because it's the same thing here. Even though you don't have the shiny ring on your finger with your team's name on it, you're not that far away. And to me, if you're going to get by what will be a tough second-round battle like it was last year against a team like the Bucks, they've got to alter things a little bit. They got to try. It's really funny that we've gotten into this. We're on Tua, who gets concussed, playing a game 3 days later, gets a second concussion. My God, everybody's reacting. We're here talking about Mac Jones. They're doing this whole funny bunny business about whether he is or isn't going to play and all that stuff. And we're sitting here looking at a team that went to an NBA Finals and wondering, does that culture carry over? And should there be load management for these guys, which last year ultimately might have cost them because of the way Tatum played in the finals?
Yeah. And I just, the thing I struggle with is, are they closer to the team that went to the finals, or are they closer to the team that was unwatchable in December?
Well, what do you think they are?
Probably somewhere in the middle based on the changes. Because I don't think you can discount Ime.
You found my fence.
Yes, I'm on your fence. But I don't think you can discount Ime's role in the evolution last year, just that singular season. And now you're saying whatever Tatum and Brown and Smart and those guys did and learned last year, they're ready to do it on their own now without Ime to set that culture and that tone and be that team. I don't know if I'm
That's
all the way there yet.
So in your world, Ime was a big part of where they got. Because I think what Ime did was figure out how to get these guys to listen to each other and to respect each other's games.
Okay.
And as long as that can carry over, to me, that was the biggest development out of last year. Even if they lost in Game 7 to Milwaukee, it would have been, you lost to a championship team, you're not that far away, da-da-da-da-da, you kind of extract all that out. Whereas now they kind of cross that bridge a little bit, And do you think there's a chance that Smart, Tatum, and Brown go back to being the Smart, Tatum, and Brown that they were in the first 40 games without Udoka? Because I'd like to think that those guys, now that they sort of crossed that bridge, will respect each other enough to not go back to the bickering type ways.
We'll see. Because when the going gets tough, sometimes you resort to muscle memory, right? Like you go back to the old ways. And if the going gets tough early in the year,
I thought you were going to roll out a true old school coaching ism. The going gets tough. The tough get going.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they should. I'm just not sure they're the tough. That's my question.
Well, who's the guy that is the most important person then on the floor to keep all of that kind of going together?
Marcus Smart.
That you and I are sharing a brain
away sometimes.
Absolutely. And that's really what it, because I do think Tatum and Brown, once they got to the NBA Finals and Jaylen Brown started to assert himself a little bit more, I think that's where, not that Tatum didn't respect the guy, but that's where he became the true Batman and Robin, right?
Yes.
The guy who really could be the dude to screw it up would be Marcus Smart. Now, let me throw another one at you here real quick. Could Malcolm Brogdon be the guy that could screw up the chemistry? Because Malcolm Brogdon clearly sees himself as a starting type player. He will be put into the starting lineup once in a blue moon, depending on who you're playing. Might he be the guy to disrupt it, or might actually add to the chemistry and make it better? That's where if you had Ime, you might feel a little better about integrating Brogdon into sort of what they discovered last year, at least in my opinion.
So I just Googled, because I want to go back to the reason we're talking Celtics right now.
Yeah,
Celtics
which
adding
is Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin.
Guaranteed one-year deal.
Center, veteran depth, whatever you want to call him. Where does he fit in terms of leadership? Because I didn't immediately in my head have this view of what he is as a leader.
You like mean Blake Griffin?
Aura. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. So I just Googled Blake Griffin leadership and to see what pops up.
Oh, I can only imagine.
First story, December 15th, 2020, on leadership and the value of Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose to the Pistons. The next one is Blake Griffin talks about his new leadership role. And then, like, there's a million stories about what kind of leader he is. There's actually, I forgot about this. There was a story about how Boston's culture had eroded and people told him not to come to Boston a year ago when there was consideration that he might come to the
and
Celtics
then he played in a mess in Brooklyn.
And he's like, hey, it doesn't look so bad over there now after what I just saw here.
He doesn't want to deal with Kyrie no mo.
So I'm interested to see what role he could play. Like, he's not Al Horford, right? Like, I don't view him because Al Horford's supposed to be a leader, supposed to be blah, 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 even though I think Philadelphia might question where that leadership went when they paid or overpaid for his services. But he's another piece to this puzzle because he is going to be a veteran voice in that locker room. Whether you like it or not, he's old and he's been in the NBA a long time. So he carries some weight, right? He was a superstar.
Well, what?
Jason Tatum sees a former superstar.
Was.
So when he speaks, Jason Tatum was a kid when he was a superstar, correct? So in his mind, there's some superstar still in the core of that body.
Maybe.
I listen to this guy?
You know, like
you don't think he'll listen to him?
No.
Oh, I do.
Well, if it
absolutely
were, I don't
think
he's
LeBron,
say,
if here, take the ball and shoot.
No, but if it's LeBron or KD, I think it's a little different because they have championship credibility. Blake Griffin has zero.
No, but he was once a star in this league, and Jason Tatum saw that when he was becoming a star in his own right.
But you know as well as I do, the championship matters in terms of who they're going to listen to. If Jason Tatum is checking himself on the whole, hey, we went to X amount of Eastern Conference Finals, now Jason Tatum can argue he's had more playoff success than Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see where his role fits in off the court as well.
It is interesting. We have Bill Belichick talking about Mac Jones coming up at noon. You're going to want to hear it, but let's have a little heartburn next.
WEEI.
Love EEI, man.
WEEI.
WEEI.
New England's
sports original.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gresh, Keith. It's Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
How could you be so heartless? How could you be so cold as the winter wind when it breeze, yo? Just remember that you talking to me, though.
To you consistent listeners to the Gresh and Keith program, you know that normally we would get some Keith's keys here. However, Keith is away. Wife and Rich and his wife announced the birth of a baby girl on Monday, and Keith should be back with us on Monday. So instead of Keith's keys, because it would be incredibly disingenuous if we tried to do Keith's keys on our own, so instead we turn to Andy Hart for a little bit of heartburn here on this Friday morning. Hart, what do you have?
So let's start with an area that you should be interested in, but you're probably not because you're weird. Candy corn, yay or nay?
Oh, God.
Exactly. That's what's wrong with you and the rest of the world. I don't understand the bad rap that candy corn, and even more so, I'm not even sure what they're called.
You're...
I think they're mallow pumpkins or whatever that go in the mix.
Oh, even worse.
The full bag of those is phenomenal, but both the mix and the singular individual are great. And I posted a picture of it recently. Everybody's like, vomit in candy form.
It really
is. You're the worst. Delete the tweet.
Yep, terrible.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you people? And yeah, I'm saying it. You people.
Wait a minute.
It's sugar.
It's sweet.
It's yummy.
Are you trying to drag Billy Lanny and John Anderson as well?
Thoughts, and don't make me come in there.
Oh, you're threatening
you
him.
People. I'd like to see you come in here.
Thoughts
on you'll candy slip on
corn
leftover food
and the pumpkin equivalents.
I'm in. I don't know. The pumpkin ones are weird, but it's the same flavor.
Yeah.
So
well,
I had a former coworker show me something that will blow your mind.
Okay.
If you take candy corns and mix them with salted peanuts, it's insane.
Oh, the sweet and the savory. The
yeah,
savory
it's a pretty good
sweet
combination.
Oh,
I'm gonna try but I'm not anti-candy
corn. You don't get to talk.
I'm not
anti-candy
corn at all.
Let the eaters talk.
John's not. Wait, Billy, did you just say you're not into candy corn?
No, I'm not anti-candy corn.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy
why
eating them.
Such
I enjoy
a bad
breaking
rap
off the whites and putting on little fangs. I enjoy them. I
see?
Have a good time with them.
This is why Billy and
I can play with them
hold
and
on
get along.
This will be the only time I speak lovingly of Mike Giardi on this show. He just texted me. Candy corn is wax. Terrible taste.
It's not wax.
Attaboy, Giardi.
Wax are the sprinkles. Chocolate sprinkles, I agree with you. Those are wax. I hate those. Those are disgusting.
Those are called Jimmies around here, dude.
I'm not sure we're supposed to do that, so that's why I intentionally stayed away from it, quite honestly.
What, to call them Jimmies?
Yes.
When I worked in Newport Creamy, people would walk up to the window and say, can I have an awful with chocolate Jimmies?
And when my grandmother did certain things, she said certain things, and they're no longer allowed, like 80 years later.
Wait, did your grandma call your wiener a Jimmy? Is that why
excuse
you
me?
Have... I'm just saying, you brought up your grandma... I wonder
we
if
we evolve.
Like, listen.
We evolve.
Ask your wife what her
she
grandmother.
Now.
No, but the whole when you have grandparents and they have different names for the naughty parts because they don't know how to communicate it to you as a kid.
So they also call them trousers or something.
But you went down the Jimmy's road and be like, oh, I stayed away from that. Like it brought up some sort of
okay
PTSD.
Like it was like a slur or something.
Yeah. Like did Nana go? Oh, get
in
you.
Some places it is looked down upon.
Little Andy, do you have to go wee wee?
There are certain connections that are made that we could have a discussion later about.
Anyway, use your Jimmy to wee wee.
Do not distract me. I'm easily distracted. Candy corn is good to the point where I've thought of candy corn. I may start melting it down and using it as a topping and as a sauce. I think you could make good, like a syrup, an ice cream syrup out
wouldn't
of
it. Wouldn't you have to keep it in a warmer environment so that it stays in sauce form, though? Wouldn't it just harden?
Would it even melt?
Yeah. Like, well,
what
that
the
might
is do
my,
we even know if it would melt?
I was concerned. I actually thought I was going to put some in like a small bowl in the microwave and just, you know, a minute and a half.
Oh, please do.
I don't think the
and I was like,
gonna melt the
if
candy
this
corn
explodes, my wife's going to kill me. So I didn't do it. And I just ate the candy. But I would like to pour it over ice cream.
There is a texter out of the 401 that says the best part about candy corn is it makes its own sauce. So, meaning...
You can melt it.
You can melt it.
I'm
right
trying it, because I think candy corn over vanilla ice cream would be
incredible. But you'd have to melt it every individual time you use
no
it, though.
I eat ice cream fast. Don't worry. I got to do that with like the caramel sauce I buy. You got to melt that. You got to melt a lot of things.
But like you wouldn't be able to just like buy a bag of candy corn, melt it all, and put it in the fridge.
And also,
then it would turn back into candy corn.
If the thin layer I pour over the ice cream hardens, like those shell toppings you buy that you shake up and those harden,
yeah,
that would be phenomenal as well. So I'm on to something here. Don't tell me I'm not.
No, I'm okay. I'm saying that if you were to try to make it in bulk and store it,
instead of having
to melt it every single time.
You do it yourself, not in bulk. Oh, to store it, I would have to add some other form of chemical, I'm sure, to keep it from hardening.
No, exactly. Like what I'm saying is that this could be a long and drawn-out process for every single time you eat ice cream. I don't care if it hardens after you pour it on or not.
Oh, okay.
It's inefficient is all I'm saying.
More
importantly. Like gambling.
More. Who won last night? Who won big?
Oh, my God.
We'll get to you later. Your idiotic gambling advice.
You've made a couple of good picks, but the parlay still stung.
So, you know what stinks? The opposite end of the fall food spectrum.
And that is?
The word pumpkin. If there's pumpkin in what you're eating, it sucks.
Did pumpkin your grandma ever spice? Call you little pumpkin? Pumpkin?
Probably. Pumpkin head.
Look at little pumpkin and his little Jimmy.
Oh. It's not okay. Great Grammy Hart's rolling in her grave somewhere. But I hate this season of pumpkin spice, pumpkin lattes, pumpkin pies, pumpkin ice cream, pumpkin flavoring.
Finn in the Twitch chat, pumpkin is trash.
Pumpkin is, it's a gourd. It's not sweet. It's not good.
It's a gourd?
It has one reason, and that's jack-o'-lanterns. It's a decoration. It's not a food. Why do we try to force it as a food? And then my biggest rant.
Well, you can't eat it.
You can. Yeah. I can eat anything. I can eat dirt. Doesn't mean it's a food.
Well, that's a little different, but okay.
Is it? They both suck. They both don't taste good.
That's like saying, oh, I need to hydrate. Let me drink some motor oil.
No.
I mean, could you have gone to a further...
Dirt and pumpkins both have a value. They're part of my yard. They're a decoration. I grow grass, the whole thing. I don't want to eat either of them.
Do you have a lush yard?
No, it sucks. And I don't even try. I gave up.
Who cares? You did? Okay.
Completely gave up. You got dogs that are leaving spots and poop and this and that. And deer piles everywhere.
Deer piles?
Oh, my God. The piles of poo from deer in my yard are massive, and they are everywhere.
Wow, I didn't realize you were that far in the woods.
Rural area, a lot of deer around. But most importantly, on last night's game.
Okay.
So Amazon Prime is a streaming service. You know what sucks? Streaming services. So I go there to watch a game.
Oh, my God.
No, would you listen?
Jeffrey Bezos.
I go there to watch a game. First thing I have to do is enter the Amazon Prime app on my TV, right?
Yep.
So now I've eliminated the ability to switch channels, to bounce around, last channel it, right?
Because okay.
Then you got to exit the app, go into a different app, go back to cable. Sucks. Also, I pay... Well, theoretically right now I don't pay for it, but I pay for Amazon Prime, correct? Like $130 a year for the whole package, whatever.
Sure.
Why are there ads? Why do I have to sit through a commercial break on something I already pay for? Shouldn't they be giving me more content? It's not TV. It's not the old school.
Because the origin of Amazon Prime is really to get you to sign up for that so that you would get the free delivery when you order your mounds of toilet paper and all that
other
stuff.
But I never did that. I ordered to watch NFL football on Thursday
nights.
So
you only signed up for that.
And I'm actually still on my 30-day free trial. I haven't actually signed up yet.
I mean...
What?
People bust my balls about being old? Oh, I love candy corn, and these streaming services are going to go the way of the past.
Well, why are there ads
Good
in something
grief.
I pay a monthly fee for? You made your money off me. Don't make more money off me. Give me content in between the plays. Give me more entertainment value for my dollar.
What would you suggest then? Get rid of the commercials. We want more Tony Gonzalez?
No, I like Kristen Hurtnog or whatever her name is.
Excuse me?
The sideline reporter that used to do Alabama games.
Kaylee Hartung.
Yeah, that her.
Crystal Hurtnog.
That's
the person who invented candy corn.
She does a nice job. I want her to have more packages ready to go for in-between plays for where there would normally be a commercial break. Why do we need TV timeouts when there's no commercials?
Andy, you sound like Perillo, you boomer.
I'm getting a little older.
But I know that one would sting you.
A little bit.
Being compared to Paul.
I still have hair, and my belt still reaches.
When do I got to watch this on my phone?
Let's wrap this up. Food's here.
It's all come. There's Perillo worried about food, as always. But it's all coming full circle. The whole idea to get, like, YouTube. When you originally went to YouTube, There were no ads in the middle of videos. Now you go to YouTube and there's an ad like after 10 minutes, an ad after 20 minutes.
You know you can pay more so that I'm not
so
the
they
case.
Can still pork me. Either way, I'm getting porked in the end. I'm paying to watch ads.
Well, again, you're a candy corn eater, so you deserve it.
I'm sticking with my damn cable where I can go last channel, I can surf, I can do, there's a guide, no apps needed.
See, this is why I hate capitalism, Andy. It's the evolution of it. And I don't know if you've seen the meme going around of the guy with the graph that says the more you F around, the more you find out. The more you exist in the capitalistic economy, the more ads.
Right.
This is the way it goes.
And you know who's great?
You should come to my side.
No, you know who's great? Radio. We've never pretended we
didn't
have ads.
We've never had ads.
No, we always have ads. We don't pretend we don't have ads. Thank you for listening, and thank you for advertising.
You know who's great?
It's the way the world
WEEI,
works.
WEEI, the Odyssey app.
Yes. WEEI.com. They're not obtrusive ads. They're nice. They blend in around the stories and the content. We don't make you pay and then bang you over the head with ads later. You're getting screwed by places like Amazon and YouTube. EEI is where it's at. I'm done.
What, Crash?
He's younger than me ranting on streaming services.
That doesn't bother you?
No, it's a part of life. Listen.
Sorry, speaking of ads.
Listen, you just accept it. People out there with concussions. It's just a part of life. Let them die on the field. Just a part of life.
I'm open of being a greedy capitalist. I want to make as much money as I can. You know why? So I don't have to sit around in a studio and complain about streaming services and candy corn.
So you just want to let Bezos screw you?
No, I want to
just take it.
I want to be,
you know, push back against the
man. I want to be Bezos super light someday to where I can just go to Bermuda and not have to think about anything.
Well, you're not. So you're stuck with
me
on some stupid app watching a football game that still has commercials for no reason.
Trying to figure out whether Bill Belichick is going to push his one-legged quarterback on the field in Green Bay. What Bill Belichick had to say about Mac in the Bay next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.